Trent Forrester, writer.
John O'Donoghue, actor.
Hello.
Ben Stiller, actor, director.
Jane Garofalo, actor.
Andy Dick, actor.
Rob Cohen, writer.
This episode, I'm wearing something, again, just not even... It's relatively close to something I would ever wear.
It's a Kramer.
Gary Shanley's going to be on this one.
Yes.
Gary
Coleman. Yeah, this is the weird Bruce Springsteen makeup. It's kind of like the cartoon version.
Didn't you actually cut his hair on this by mistake?
Yes, right in the top center.
You mean the shiny part?
Everybody was going to go for that.
Set up, payoff.
Yeah, we did a few versions. We did this, cutting the hair, and then we had like a little discussion that we shot too. That we never used.
Has Springsteen ever talked to you about this?
Not per se. Like, I'll tell you what happened. I met him at a party once about 8 years ago, and for some reason I was in a huge, you know, I'm a huge fan, and for some reason I told him about this, thinking that he would find it amusing, and I got the tapes to him somehow. And then I thought I'd never see him again, because when in your life do you see Bruce Springsteen? And then somehow I saw him again about 6 months later at something. And I said, he said to me, he said, hey, I saw that thing you did. And that was it.
And that's the last contact I ever had with Bruce Springsteen.
That's great.
I know.
Faint praise from the boss.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, it's a weird thing when you, you know, come in contact with people.
You
that's
too?
Basically why I stopped doing things like that.
What? You too. Then they,
yeah, they were, yeah, were aware of it.
Yeah.
And,
didn't Bono leave you a message on your machine? You couldn't tell it was really him?
That's a question that I... Somebody called and left a message on my machine, and I was asleep. And it sounded like Bono. And either it was somebody playing a joke on me, pretending they were Bono, or it was him.
It really sounded like Bono. I heard
what
that.
Did he, what
right?
did he
I
say?
Remember hearing
what was
that.
The message?
It said, watch more TV, Ben, or something,
yeah,
like that.
Uh-huh. It had this weird irony. And
it had that Bono-esque sort of, you couldn't tell exactly what he meant by it.
Little verbal drive-by.
It was him.
That's Judd.
Wow.
This is a similar background to the other one that we had.
That was
Judd's
beardy. Right.
Oh, man. A lot of us wrote on this one.
This is the famous sketch that led to the fist fight that we talked about before.
Oh, yeah. When
Andy,
Jeff Kahn punched a hole in the wall.
Andy Dick and Jeff Kahn fighting it out over Woody.
Oh God. Yeah.
Well, Jeff Kahn is one of the writers on this show, and he was on your show on MTV,
yes,
on Ben's show on MTV. And but I guess, did
Becky
he not
Thayer
want to
That's
be
Becky
an actor?
Thayer.
But Jeff is a writer, and Jeff commented on a couple of other episodes that are on this DVD.
Ben, there's your sister.
There's my sister.
There's Amy.
Yeah,
Amy,
before we get into the Jeff Kahn thing, yeah, that's Becky Thayer.
That's Becky Thayer.
Doing the Mia Farrow.
Ben, that's Frankenstein.
Sydney Pollack.
Right.
Sydney Pollack.
And Amy Stiller.
Yeah, Amy Stiller, my sister, is doing probably the...
Judy Davis.
Judy Davis.
And
she's so good.
And just a bizarre... The fact that we would
actually...
I think
everybody did a great job on this.
Yeah, everybody did a good job on this.
But the fight was basically over who was going to play Woody Allen, and it was between Jeff Kahn and Andy Dick, and it came down to a Woody off in front of the office that I shared with Bob, and somebody ended up pounding their fist into the wall.
Who won? Tell us who won.
Well, who won in my mind, or who's on screen right now?
no, I mean,
well, Jeff does a great Woody Allen,
yeah,
a really
yes.
good one.
But the bottom line was that Andy was in the cast,
yeah,
and so
yeah,
that's why you should
be in better job, Andy.
Yeah.
Thanks for
that. And the Juliette Lewis impression here.
Yeah. Oh, this is the best.
By Janine Garofalo, really. I don't think I've ever seen anybody else do her.
Well, I did the actually, I think the Juliette Lewis in Cape Fear was
Cape
the first,
Fear, yeah.
first Juliette Lewis. I think I'm wearing weird contact lenses, but I'm not
really?
Sure.
I think to get her eye
I
color?
Get my eyes
I think
to
your
look,
teeth are falling out.
To look, I think my teeth are falling out, and I'm wearing contact lenses that were supposed to make my eyes look weird, but only just made them kind of a weird brown color. That's the kind of wonderful information you get on a DVD.
That you can't live without.
That you cannot not, you can't afford not to get this kind of information.
But this was one of the more ambitious pieces we did. It was not only a parody of a movie, but it was a huge makeup, and I think it's a great bit.
Yeah, it is.
It is inexplicable, though. I mean, what is the concept here? It's just a substitution, monsters in a Woody Allen movie.
Yeah.
There is no concept.
There is no concept, and when you really dissect it, it doesn't really stay together.
You guys are ruining my audio commentary.
No, but it is. Actually, when we were doing it, I wondered why we were doing it.
Well,
not that it was bad, because I think everybody was very good, but it's a very strange idea.
It is. strange. Yes. There are a bunch of strange ideas that we did as sketches on the show that if you really think about them now in retrospect, you wonder why we were doing them. I mean, really, like, mm-hmm. you can't really justify it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it seemed to us like it would be fun to do, and it must have seemed funny. Who wrote this?
You know
this?
What? I was writing a Frankenstein bit that had nothing to do with this, and Jeff Kahn was writing a Woody Allen parody, and for some reason, we combined them, and this is what came out.
Oh, that wasn't our Swedish friend there. That's
the same girl who was in that that cut sketch of Frederick. That's that girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, you know, we just also, I think we're, like I said, we were kind of frustrated filmmakers and just wanted to have a chance to actually shoot things that felt like we were doing movies, even though we had a sketch show.
Right.
But I thought, I mean, I think the irony of a sketch like this is kind of, I mean, it's kind of funny, the idea of it.
I love it. I couldn't do Woody Allen very well at first. I had to go and watch Husbands and Wives and record it on an audio cassette and just listen to it over and over and over and over and over. Couldn't do it. Oh.
Come on, get in the car. Get in the car for the last time.
I think these sketches were funny if you knew the movie really well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then which you shouldn't have to have that prerequisite for a sketch comedy show. You shouldn't have to have it. But if you did have that information, then I think it's a justified sort of sketch.
Mm-hmm.
If you loved the movie and you were very familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
Would all you people just calm down and get me very angry here?
There's O'Donohue as the townsperson.
As the angry townsperson.
This is a good effect. There you go.
He lost his head.
Andy, I watched all the Frankenstein movies. Prepare for that.
Over and over.
That's pretty.
Yeah, it's a funny moment, Ben. I like that acting.
Yeah, your sister did an excellent job.
Amy was so good in this.
Yeah. Look at her.
I'd have to say, you know,
well, this is one of the weirder moments in my life, is playing a husband and wife couple with my sister.
Oh, right.
Dressed as Frankenstein and the Bride of Frankenstein.
I got this great woman back at home waiting for me, and what am I doing? I'm saying, you know, Frank, you're starting to screw up.
Do you mind if I light a torch?
She did other sketches, right? Amy was in two or three other sketches that we did. I'm just trying to fill this black hole of silence. You know, fudge is really
fudge is
good.
Really, when it's made well, it's
you
really delicious.
You know, I'm a
delicious.
Walnut fan myself, Jane.
I like fudge and pecans.
It's all right. We'll just stick Bob Odenkirk's pre-recorded comments in there.
Ben, hey, you guys. I'm on Ben's side with this one.
It works. It works. You figure out a way to make it work.
Absolutely.
You know, life is painful. You hurt people.
Tell me later about the fudge.
See, now, this is the ending of this sketch. It does not end on an up note. It's like a very kind of weird sort of existential, sad, weird.
It ends the way the movie does.
You live forever.
A tomb, you know, there's been a series of grave robberies, and I'm worried about my stuff, you know.
You know, one of the great
things... Famous beach.
Yeah. Now...
Janine, choker and t-shirt.
I'm wearing a choker t-shirt and probably bike shorts under the t-shirt.
And I'm wearing
took the jacket off.
I'm like wearing some like a soccer referee uniform or something. I don't know.
Oh my god, I think I am. I think there was bike shorts under that t-shirt. That is unbelievable. There's a real live police person.
Nothing goes wrong and we can just do our job smoothly.
Hey, wait a minute. I know you. You're...
Oh god. This is so not... But I'm wearing bike shorts. Unbelievable. I actually used to be interested in physical fitness. That's what's the most shocking part of this.
Please.
I would no longer ever don bike shorts for any reason in the world, let alone get on a bicycle.
That guy's now the chief of police of LA in the 10 years of John Black.
And there's his debut.
Oh, is he a security? He's actually a security guard.
Oh, for the shoot?
Yeah, because we had major security problems. Oh, there's the one that we didn't... I thought we never even made it onto the show.
I don't remember this.
Oh, no, wait, what is this one?
No, is this the non-Nots one? No.
No.
Do you remember the non-Nots one,
this is
Andy?
This is the non-Nots one, isn't it?
Where I'm being thrown back and forth?
Yeah.
On this DVD, is it, there's all the episodes, the DVD is the whole season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all 13.
Okay.
Who's the young lady?
Are there certain ones that you...
No, I was curious as how they were assembling this thing.
They're just going to look
at that
This is the guy
from Three Men and
Three
an
Men and Old Man.
I love that sketch, Three Men and an Old Man.
Yeah.
He's, I don't think it's Don Knotts. I think it's Charles Nelson Reilly.
No, that was
no,
the
you, that's in the wrestling one. You're Charles Nelson Reilly.
Then what is Don Knotts doing?
No, but Charles Nelson Reilly was also, and we did one with Charles Nelson Reilly in this one too. Well, we're like, I'm like,
because you
gotta
stick with your strengths, Andy. You're an excellent Charles Nelson Reilly. If it ain't broke,
right?
I do remember you as Don Knotts getting the crap beat out of you
in this one.
No, and
I think
Andy,
it is.
This thing's 8 minutes in. You're not in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I know. We have that sketch if you want it to be included on the DVD, though.
Put it in there.
All the shows are going to be on the DVD, right, Ben?
Yes.
That's what we just discussed, John.
John. He said sketches.
You have to
John
said
sketches. To use the bathroom.
Wait a minute. He said sketches. He didn't say shows.
All the shows and sketches.
All the sketches within the context of a show.
Yeah. Okay. Don't get me mad, Jenny.
Look at the streaky.
I won't love 411.
It's the turtle.
Who actually wrote these? Did we discuss that?
I thought they were Jeff's.
I had a hand in writing this sketch. Mm-hmm. It might have been me and Jeff. I take responsibility. I take full responsibility.
I still think that girl's going to call me back.
What, that lady
in
the room?
Yeah, she is wild.
Did you cast her?
You were in for it.
Hi, welcome back to the show.
And here's with Gary Shandling. Yay!
Hello, Gary.
Great, Gary. That's Jack Garofalo.
And there's Jack in the back there.
The only thing he ever did was he would organize a football pool.
Uh-huh.
And now he's the richest producer in the world.
What does he produce now?
He produces
Adam Sandler.
I see.
He just couldn't get motivated to be judge assistant, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's a lawyer also.
Oh, was he a lawyer then, too?
At least maybe he lied to me. He told me he was a lawyer.
See, I don't know why I felt a need to wear a jacket over that shirt now for this segment. I'm telling
you, it's just one of those things when wardrobe does its job too well.
Right.
Anybody on the show, fine. I'm happy.
But this was, didn't Shandling get the call and just drive down there? Like, he was such a good sport about doing
well,
this.
Well, that was really nice.
I mean, Judd
him.
Wrote a lot for him, and he just did a lot of favors for us on this show.
Mm-hmm. But I actually got the Larry Sanders Show because of this show. I met him when we were shooting the pilot of our show. Where, when was Gary on once? Other
yes, he came on the pilot for the Michael Foray sketch.
Yes, and that's where I met him, and then got Paula from there.
Was he casting the show at that point, or what was going
he
on?
He had me come in. Actually, oddly enough, he had me come in and audition for the part of his wife, which was so clearly wrong right from 2 seconds into that audition, and then he just said, "There's another part," and that was Paula, which I didn't have to audition for. I just was then Paula.
How long after our show did that start up for you?
I think it started simultaneously. I think I was doing both shows for this season.
That's right. Were you doing both at the same time?
Yeah. But I had, my part was so small on Sanders, it wasn't a conflict.
And our show only really was
shooting
for about 4 months, really. So
I love this.
Is this Alex Karras?
I think this might be Run DMC, right?
Yeah.
No?
How about that old Run DMC show?
Oh my
Remember
God.
The Run DMC show that went in the old version of the Ben Stiller show?
Right.
And,
it's Alex Karras. Yeah, what was that?
And then we actually rapped with Run DMC at the end.
Run DMC did a live performance in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
On the ill-fated clubhouse set from the original.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I don't remember it at all.
But I was like living out my little boy fantasy because I was like this huge Run DMC fan.
Those poor guys had to rap with us, though.
I know.
Terrible thing to do to them.
They became preachers, didn't they?
They're on the road now with Aerosmith. And
they're
Kid
acknowledged
Rock.
as the
kings of hip hop,
fathers of hip hop.
Right, they're great.
I don't know how we got Alex Karras. Too bad Judd's here, not here to.
I remember he was a last minute replacement because this is the one with the up, up and away bouquet. I think.
Where's that guy from? Right there. Who
used to be a football player?
Alex Karras.
In the show Webster.
Yeah.
Both important.
Webster.
That's right.
Wasn't
but I'm sure he'd rather be known as as a sports hero than the guy from Webster.
I think he'd rather be known as the guy in the Michael Ferrace sketch.
That's true.
Episode 9.
How did they do your hair in the sketch, man?
It's a wig. It's all a wig. Eyebrows and a little, like, a weird nose.
Pointy
of course.
Nose.
Yeah. And the background for this set is, I think, really incredible.
The Van de Graaff generator.
What is that?
That sparking.
That's great.
I was looking at the water thing.
Thanks.
Oh, that, yeah, I thought that's what the water thing was called.
Oh, the nerd has turned.
What would your SAT class?
I'll kill you.
Wasn't Stephen Baldwin on the same show as Run DMC in that panel?
Yeah, he's in the clubhouse set too, because I can remember sitting around a coffee table. And whatever happened with the Seinfeld sketch we did with Paul Dooley?
I actually found some of the old dailies of that, because that was pretty ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea was that we were sort of trying to do a version of the pilot that was based on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I've only seen me doing an extremely lame Seinfeld impression.
I saw Kramer, right? You guys,
yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
see the one in the house, but I saw the clubhouse one, but the one in the house was, you guys had an actual house,
and
right?
then we had like a mm-hmm. time travel idea, too. Do you remember that? It was the same,
no.
the same sort of idea that there was...
Hey!
No. I don't remember
cop
the time
stories.
Cop stories.
These are mostly true.
We had a lot of job. Failed versions of that pilot
uh-huh.
like, that are all, that actually were filmed.
Rob, you wrote these with John.
Yeah, John O'Donohue... former New York Police Department.
John, you look better now, dude. I think you lost some weight. I'm serious. I think you lost some weight.
Thank you. I've been going for the romantic lead type role.
This is John used to sit down and captivate us with true stories of his adventures. And some of them were pretty interesting.
This was a lot of fun.
And these stories are, like, largely based on truth, right?
At the time, sure. No, it's just, John, I mean, why don't you talk about it? You're the star.
Well, like you said, we got together and we just sat down, and then I think there was a lot of riffing going on. Ben let me just cut loose there.
Yeah, we were just, I was looking for all the help I could get.
Right. Right. We needed small bits of inexpensive video filler.
But, had you done comedy at all before this, John?
No, not really.
What was the experience like for you?
Well, like I said, it was great working for you because you just let me go, you know, and I just took off, and I just loved it.
Look at that.
I remember all those cop expressions on the arm.
Yeah, on the arm, on the job.
Yeah.
Skell. Oh, bitch.
Skells.
Skells.
Yeah.
There we all are.
The entire cast. Andy, is that how you used to wear your hair?
I'm embarrassed. It's the 80s, isn't it?
I mean,
was it
no.
the 80s?
No,
it's
the
90s.
No, it's the
90s. It's 92.
I was a little behind. Look at it.
Let's go around the table and talk about how everybody felt when the show was canceled, starting with you, Andy. Did you care? Were you? I mean,
I was depressed. I thought it was going to last for years. I thought this was my big break, you know, and it got canceled, and I was disappointed. But I had lots of disappointments in my life. Like, I never got to do the Second City main stage, Zoolander.
What?
Dude,
that happened.
Do you want to get into that? Because we can.
No. I know. I couldn't walk away from that NBC
You did a
thing.
Pilot called Go Fish.
I know.
So don't make it like you couldn't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you were great.
What happened to Go Fish?
I don't know, but they kept his commitment.
Another disappointment.
Okay.
Let's
keep going. I like how you jumped like 10 years into the future.
Yeah.
What about you? What was your...
I was really, really sad. I mean, it was my first staff job, and a really amazing group of writers, and the cast was great, and we all hung out, and I've been spoiled by it to this day, and it was, we knew sort of going into the holidays that we probably would not be back, but it was sad. I mean, it really spoiled me, and going to work on a regular sitcom about a single gal making it a big city magazine sort of fails in comparison to the experience. It was really a bummer.
Mm.
Brent Forrester.
monster. This, I wrote the sketch you're watching now. This is one of my favorites, actually, with Bob and Andy. And it has a weird
This is
ending.
A really funny sketch,
it's
I think.
Pretty it's pretty original, you know. There's, it's not based on anything. It's not a parody. It's just some...
And we shot it in the Museum of Natural History the same day that we were shooting the exteriors for the Bride of Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Can I mention this is one of the two sketches that Dino and I appeared together in nylons?
Oh, yeah, the ending of this. We went through 80 different endings trying to find the ending of the sketch.
And we ended up with the Twilight Zone.
That's
ending.
Right, yeah. Yeah. That's right. So when the show was canceled, I was happily, I had already moved on to the Don Rickles show, Daddy Dearest. So I knew I was sitting pretty and suffered no pain at all.
Like Bob's take when he goes into the glass with his open mouth. Yeah. Well,
there you guys are, Rob and Dino.
That's
Robin. Nice.
Yeah. Dino was freaking out under this mask.
Nice high five there.
Yeah.
Just great acting.
Well, we couldn't see, and we sat in a trailer with nylons in those heads, and Dino wanted the head that lit up.
And doesn't Andy like wake up from a dream?
Yeah, Andy's great here
with the leaf that he finds.
Your take at the end of this is great.
I wasn't taken into the woods. Kidnapped by monsters.
It sounded like Woody Allen there for a second.
Oh my gosh, it was real.
That's why I like how there's a perfect circular dirt patch in the bed. Yeah. The one
That take was very David Faustino of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, John? Were you, when the show was canceled, were you surprised or did you even...
Well, actually, I was happy as a pig and crap.
Really?
That's pretty happy. That
no, you know, this was my, you know, this was my first paying job out here in L.A., And it was just a great experience to be part of such a creative, great show.
Okay, well, that's about it. Jeez, I don't have to meet the cast again.
When we got canceled, I was kind of... I wasn't surprised because I knew that, you know, our ratings were so low. That I was just kind of... I think all throughout it, we were just kind of expecting the axe to fall at a certain point. But we had so much fun when we were doing it. And I don't think any of us knew how hard it was to really get a show on the air because, well, we spent a couple of years trying to get it on the air. But by the time it happened, and I guess there's just no way to know what TV development can really be like.
Because of the ratings and stuff, I just assumed we were going to be canceled. I was disappointed because I liked everyone so much, but I was also doing Larry Sanders. So I didn't understand at the time what a drag it was to be canceled because I was doing Sanders and then I was still doing stand-up. But I got so spoiled doing this show and Sanders back-to-back that when I went on to do other TV series, it's like, oh, man, it was the worst kick in the teeth to do other...
Well, because both those shows were not shows that were done by committee. It was just like, Gary Shandling and our show, we were just doing what we wanted to do and there was a core group of people and most shows are obviously, you know...
Right, and also there's room for improv in both Sanders and the Stiller show. The actors were treated with respect and they were trusted to improv. And then on most other shows, you cannot vary from the script at all.
Yeah. I remember I ran into Janine afterwards and you were talking about on auditions, they really want you to know every line.
I know. It's very difficult for me. They actually want you to say it the way it's written.
Yeah,
which
it's really
painful to me.
I think that it's just because the way the show started out was that it was this package of people, you know, Janine and Andy and Bob, that we brought to them, and the way it started out not being developed in the traditional way, I think that's kind of why it had this sort of like, Jesus.
Here he goes.
I like the echo.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, that's it. Well, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ben Stiller.